This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Oh man, it's 6 p.m., and that means it's time for the bullpen, starring the one and only Joe George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
Listen and be fascinated as the longtime producer becomes untethered by lesser talent and can truly talk sports the way he was meant to, with no reins or restrictions, with stellar takes and perfect diction.
I'm assistant regional manager. I should know first.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, okay.
Now, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Bullpen with Joe George.
Welcome into The Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio. Brian McDonald producing the show as usual on Twitter at Sacked by BMAC. I'm trying to get ready for the show and all over the Twitch and all over the text line because of the idiocy of the end of the Killer Bees is people telling us how wrong we are because Jeremy Branham called a frog an animal. That's what our Twitch line, our Twitch, and our text line look like. We got people calling us idiots. Jeremy's the idiot, okay? Jeremy said it, not me. Not Joel. Now, someone said that...
Oh, hold on. So, Jeremy's wrong because he said what?
He said a frog's an animal.
A frog is an animal.
No, it's not. It's not. It's a reptile. Or it's an amphibian.
An animal... A reptilian... Or a reptile's a type of animal.
No. It's not the same thing. Maybe I'm wrong. But the text line and the Twitch line says you and Jeremy are wrong.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
We can't do this. It'll take an hour.
Okay, we're going to have a conversation off air. If people want a peek into what 701 will be like, it'll be me and Joe arguing about the definition of an animal.
All right, so we're going to be here on the bullpen.
I will be so distracted for the rest of the show. All I'm going to be thinking about is this argument coming up at 701.
It's true. It's what we're going to do for the next hour. We're going to be thinking about that. But we're going to talk about the Texans playoffs, the NFL playoffs, super wild card weekend. Is here. We got a bunch of bad weather.
Super card weekend.
It's so stupid that they had to call it. I thought it was going to be a bit that they were going to go with for like a year and then move away from it.
Come on, man. Everything is wrestling.
Apparently not.
You got to put we're how many days away from me being the grandest stage of them all?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. We're not that far. Cody Rhodes finished the story. A Hall of Fame at 8 o'clock tonight with Booker T and Brad Gilmore. That transition there, BMAC. Look at me. All right, but we got to talk about the Texans playoffs. We're going to talk about the NFL playoffs. Jermaine Every from sportsmap.com will join us at 6:30, one of our Texans beat writers, to preview the game as well. We'll do some prop bets for the Texans in the final segment of the show. But we got a lot to get into today, of course. And you're welcome in at 713-780-3776 to the text line, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can call in as well. So do you believe the Texans will win this weekend? For me, the answer is yes. I do believe the Texans are going to get a victory tomorrow against the Cleveland Browns. It's not just because I'm so impressed with the Texans. It has so much to do with Joe Flacco. Like, it has been such a fun story the last couple weeks, the fact that he came off his couch and is playing the best football he's played since probably the year before he got replaced by Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Honestly, it might be some of the best football Joe Flacco has played since he won a Super Bowl. Like, he was not that good, we all know it, after he got his monster contract in Baltimore. So it's been this incredible story in Cleveland, all of the drama around it. You've got two teams that have overcome so many injuries to key players. You know, Tank Dell versus Nick Chubb. Both offensive lines have dealt with so many different things. We'll take this call at the end of the segment, Brian. We'll just do it. We'll talk frogs and animals in about 5 minutes here if you're really interested. But why do you believe the Texans are going to win? Why do you believe they're going to lose if you don't think they're going to get the W this weekend? Look, these are two good teams. Neither of them are great. I wouldn't expect either of these teams to win a second playoff game. I'll put it that way. I think whoever wins this game, like, I am not, you know, let's say everything goes chalk.
I'm not even willing to write that off, though.
No, a lot of it depends on how the playoffs shake out.
Because between me, you, and Lamar Jackson, we have a combined one playoff win.
That's true. And look, and we don't know what's going to happen. Like, and we're going to deep dive more into the rest of the playoffs in the next segment. But the idea that when it's, you know, the Buffalo Bills are tweeting out asking their fans to come shovel snow. Like, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren eating the clock for the Pittsburgh Steelers and beating Buffalo doesn't feel insane right now. Raheem Mostert and, you know, Devon Achane, whatever his name is now.
Achane, you got it right.
Like, beating the Chiefs or the Chiefs beating, you know, Miami is all up in the air. So there's not even this guarantee, it feels like, in any way, shape, or form, that if the Texans win, they're going to play the Baltimore Ravens next week because they do the reseeding now in the playoffs. Thankfully, what a dumb idea they didn't do it before.
I'm actually kind of leaning toward, this may be crazy because they're starting Mason Rudolph, but I'm actually leaning towards the Steelers winning this game. If one of these teams with reported, what, like 45-mile-an-hour winds plus a blizzard, if one of these teams is going to run the ball, play defense in that sort of what, in those sort of weather conditions and win the game, to me, it's Pittsburgh. They've got the James Cook is great, but he's a speed back. Whereas is with Najee, at least you got the power back, and you still have the speed back complementary to that with Jaylen Warren. But, you know, I think I would take Pittsburgh in that game, and if that's the case, then Pittsburgh is obviously the team going to Baltimore to face the Ravens. So it'd be up in the air as to who the Texans face after that. I would project it to be the Chiefs because I don't think the Dolphins are winning, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll dive more into the playoffs here in the next segment. But, you know, I think the reason why I believe the Texans are going to win is just because I don't believe that Joe Flacco is going to play a clean game of football. He's thrown a ton of interceptions in his, you know, in the games he's played this year. And, you know, the other thing about it is, like, I can't imagine a world in which Amari Cooper does what he did 3 weeks ago. Again, like, the idea that he's going to go 260 is not there. So, like, if you keep Amari Cooper in, like, relative check, like, let's say he goes 150
for
one
touchdown. What would you consider relative check?
150 for a touchdown. Like, that's still a lot. Yeah. But, like, they don't have a ton of success and players outside of that. Njoku's a good player, for sure. He's been a monster.
Yeah,
Joe Flacco has
been great, especially for fantasy. I think one of the interesting dynamics to this with me is with DeMeco, in that DeMeco has not only faced Joe Flacco, I assume, as a coach, but he's also faced him as a player. So there's an extra level of detail of DeMeco's firsthand scouting experience against Joe Flacco that I think comes into play here. And I agree with you. I do expect the Texans to win this game. And obviously the biggest reason for that is C.J. Stroud versus Case Keenum. You have your starting quarterback in this game. But, yeah, I don't look, Flacco's had a great run, and he's had obviously amazing moments in his career. His run to that Super Bowl where he won MVP, I think it was 11 touchdowns to zero interceptions in that postseason. So he's had these moments before. But I think expecting Joe Flacco to play clean football, throw for 300, expecting Amari Cooper to go for like 250, those are more the outlier than I think what you can expect is the norm, especially if the Texans get Jonathan Gannard back and have a relatively healthy defense.
I can't get over this Twitch line. I'm sorry. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Is this
the frog animal
thing? I think they proved me wrong. I think a frog is an animal. Okay?
Yeah, I think
it's also an amphibian.
I think you're confusing animal with mammal.
I think so, too. I think I am. But Joel did too. I'm not the only one. And there's texters that are on my side. Like, we don't need to talk to Ice Cream Man, a.k.a. Dick Willie, just hung up because I'm pretty confident that's who that would have been.
Oh, he hung up? Okay.
But, like, I got him wrong.
How did you confuse mammal and animal?
I'm dumb, man. My dad was an English teacher at my high school, so, like, all my teachers gave me good grades. I went to an art school and have a radio degree. Why do you think I'm still in this business? Because I have a fake college degree. So I don't know the difference between a mammal and animal sometimes. I'll take the L.
So you're how old, Joe?
32. I just turned 32.
So you're 32 years old when you found out there's a difference between mammal and animal?
No, I know there's a difference. I just made a mistake in this moment.
Okay, so you didn't think they were like, they meant to say, it was different words for the same thing?
Probably.
Oh, you did think that?
I don't know. I just know I got it wrong. I don't know why I got it wrong. I just know I got it wrong. All right, back to the Houston Texans. Away from this frog animal embarrassment that has occurred. I wish I
Car wreck of the century.
Yeah, I know. There's been worse, but that was a tough one. 11th yesterday from Jeremy Branham was a pretty good nomination.
11th is good.
But why do the Texans lose this game? Brian and I both are on the same side that the Houston Texans are going to win.
Now, are you expecting a close win?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I am too. My projected score will be 24-20. So within that, I'm sure yours is relatively the same. So within that, there's obviously a lot of margin for error. I mean, if we're projecting close wins, one turnover flips either way. You know, Flacco throws one less, CJ throws one more, the entire game flips.
Yeah, and that's what I – because I think it's honestly a race to 20. Like, I can't
– I think the winning team will have more than 20, but yeah. I see what you mean.
Yeah, like whoever gets to 21st, because they'll probably end up with more than that with an extra field goal and make it 24-20.
I definitely something think like 24 that. To 27 wins it.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I don't think this game needs to get to – and honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if this game doesn't even get to the 20s and gets a win. You know, you have an offense in Cleveland that has been a roller coaster and has been good with Flacco, but turns the ball over a lot. Now, you have a Texans defense that gives up the deep ball all the time. They struggle against tight ends, but they've been really good against the run game, and that's been one of the Browns' weaknesses this season.
I don't even know if it matters that the Texans have done well against the run game, because Jerome Ford hasn't been a good runner.
Yeah.
And I don't even think the Browns are going to try to beat you with the run. They'll run the ball if they're up. Like, if they're up like they were in the game a few weeks ago, they will run the ball in the second half, but it's not going to be how the Browns try to beat you.
Yeah.
Not this Browns team without Nick Chubb.
Yeah, someone just accused me of being Gen Z. I'm not Gen Z. I am millennial, okay?
What year were you born?
92.
Yeah, that's millennial. That's on the late end of millennial. I would agree with that.
I am not, because as a factual, it's millennials, there's a time. I am not a Gen Z.
Yeah, you're on the very late end of the millennial.
Yeah, I think I'm like 2 or 3 years off. But if the Texans are going to lose this game, I think it's because the offense struggles. You can't have what you had last week. You can't. I think Andrew Carlson tweeted out it's like 87% of the passing yards last week came from Dalton Schultz and Nico Collins. That performance cannot be repeated.
I don't even necessarily think that matters all that much. I do agree with you. The offense can't put out the same performances they did last week and expect the Texans to win. But I don't think it matters so much about the target disparity to Mika. What stands out more to me is the possibility of the Texans being made one-dimensional and that allowing the Browns to then force CJ into some bad throws and some turnovers and mistakes that cost them points on the back end. And that all relies upon what we saw last week with Devin Singletary averaging 2.6 per carry. If Devin Singletary, and look, the Browns' run defense is really good, so it's not an extreme unlikelihood that this happens again. But if Devin Singletary goes out and averages under 3 yards a carry again, I mean, look out. I mean, that puts the C.J. Stroud – look, we've already put, as the Texans, a lot of our hopes and dreams have already, you know, despairingly been put on C.J. Stroud's shoulders, like, you know, an uneven amount on his shoulders compared to the rest of the roster. But if Devin Singletary goes out there and gives you no running game again, and you're down, obviously, offensive weapons compared to you were at the beginning of the season without Tank Dell, then, yeah, that could lead to – the turnovers that you're talking about that could cost the Texans the game.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. I think it's the most intriguing game this weekend because, at least from a traditional football standpoint, like, and we're gonna go into the rest of the games in the next segment, because this game doesn't have the weather factor. Like, if everything was just straightforward being played indoors, I think this is the most intriguing game. The weather in Buffalo and Kansas City adds a weird wrinkle to it. All the drama in Philadelphia with A.J. Brown. Now he's scrubbed his social media of all his Eagle stuff. Didn't practice again today. But, like, this game is the most, I think, balanced football game we have through Super Wild Card Weekend. It is the game where the line's probably, I think it's the closest. Still, I think it's like 2.5. Everything else is,
yeah, last night number I saw was 2.
Yeah, I mean, the Buccaneers are 3-point or 3-point dogs at home on Monday night. But for the most part, like, most of these games are 5+. You know, Pittsburgh's a 10-point dog. Green Bay is a 7-point dog in this game. Miami's 4.5 points. So this game is the closest by the Vegas line. It's the game I'm most intrigued by, even if I was not, you know, talking about it here in Houston. Last thing before we go to the rest of the NFL, Dre asked on Twitch, where will Deshaun Watson be on game day?
Probably in the suite, I would guess.
Sidelines, the suites, the Houstonian.
Wherever he is, he'll have a really small towel with him.
I'm going to bet you Cleveland.
No, come on, Joe. He's coming to the game. I'd place a wager on that if you'd like to make it interesting.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Are we going to watch? I think we'll watching the game tomorrow, BMAC?
Huh?
Are you watching the game with me tomorrow after the producer meeting?
Yeah. Are we watching it after the producer meeting?
We'll go somewhere. Right. We'll wager a little beer.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. So a drink of the user's choice. How about that?
We have to make sure that, look, if you're drinking Coca-Cola, BMAC, I can't be taking a beer from you. That is not a fair wager.
That is not a fair wager.
I'm gonna look out for you here a little bit, okay?
Okay, beer versus an appetizer. How about that?
Well, I like that one. Okay. That's a good one. All right. Does Deshaun Watson make an appearance in Houston? Official wager is set between Brian and myself, a beer versus an appetizer. All right, we'll look at the rest of the playoffs next year on the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com, Fighter of the Night Man.
I miss you, Night Man, so bad.
After a full day's work of producing and corralling all of the individual conflicting personalities at ESPN 97.5, well, if you're Jumpin' Joe George, you do another hour of sports talk. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen.
Joe George here with you till 7 o'clock. Brian McDonald behind the glass. Jermaine Every from SportsMap.com, one of our Texans beat reporters, will join us in the next segment. But we got to talk about the rest of the NFL playoff games because there's a lot of interesting ones this weekend. It is, you know, at first I was unsure how I felt about the expanded playoffs in the NFL. It felt like it was going to be too many teams getting in and it was going to dilute the product. Kind of the same argument that everyone's made for college football.
I've made that for the NBA for a long time. I made that about the NBA when it was still eight teams.
Now, the NBA is different because right now you literally have two-thirds of the league getting in.
Yeah, I was making that argument when it was still 8-8, and so at that point you had 16 playoff teams for a 30-team league, over half the league, and now, like you said, it's a third.
Anyone think the Rockets are going to win NBA championship this year?
No.
Exactly. Like, is there any ounce of you?
No, the argument to the other side of that would be the Heat from last year. They for started sure. as a play-in team and then made the NBA Finals.
I think that's going to be
the outlier, right?
That is if in the NBA, it's going to happen because you have players sitting out because they're all sissies.
wow, that escalated quickly.
I despise the NBA at times.
I can tell.
Because like they sit out for no reason. They're like, oh, my toe hurts. And then they sit out for six games. It's a joke how much NBA players sit out for the littlest thing because they have to rest. Like Elvin Hayes, yeah, I'm going back old school here. He played 82 games every single year for like 5 years. They didn't have first.
How do you, born in 1992, make your reference Elvin Hayes from the 60s and 70s?
I used to do a radio show with Elvin.
Okay, all right. Like, I was trying to get the connection. Like his playing career ended like 10 years before you were born.
I know, if not more. To be honest, I was born in 92, so like, I don't know when Elvin retired.
Yeah, he was playing in the 60s when the Rockets were in San Diego.
Like NBA players play 82 games a year. They didn't like travel by nice planes.
No, not back then.
Like they didn't eat like McDonald's every day and candy. And like so I don't know, is that the problem? Like is Dwight Howard eating too much candy the problem why players can't play in the NBA?
What's the difference between that and the move in baseball to make basically every starting pitcher only go five innings?
Oh, that's
it's kind of the same thing. Well, I know they're technically not dropping or not having technical rest games, but you can make the same argument for baseball if you want to go way back to the days of the three-man starting rotation, and now we got six-man starting rotations, and we're even adding seventh with bullpen games, and even the guys in those six-man rotations are being limited at five innings. So I think it's not an NBA thing. To me, that's just a modern sports thing.
The only argument I'll make against the Major League Baseball in that argument is that most of those guys who were doing that were throwing like high 80s.
Wait, you got a radar gun for Babe Ruth in the 1910s?
I don't think it's not normal to be everyone be throwing it 102 miles an hour.
That's true. That part is different for sure.
All right, so NFL games this weekend. A bunch of really interesting ones, but I do like the expanded playoffs at this point. I like having only one team have a bye versus two, and then you just get some intriguing matchups. Like if Joe Burrow was healthy this year and it was, you know, Cincinnati in the playoffs instead of Pittsburgh, it'd be even better. But like it works out. Buffalo versus Pittsburgh. This game, it's going to be a ton of snow. They're literally tweeting out to their fans to have them come help and shovel.
That's hilarious.
I don't think it's insane to think Pittsburgh can win this game. I know you kind of, you might be leaning that way.
I agree. I think they definitely can.
I mean, you have Najee and Jaylen Warren. Like, they're going to run the ball well. Josh Allen in the snow. Like, I think this idea that because you live in Buffalo or you live in Kansas City for, like, this part of the year and you're immune to the cold is ridiculous.
Yeah,
just to be honest, because, like, most of these guys, they still play, and, like, this will be their first game this year. Like, this isn't even like C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, how many snow games have the Buffalo Bills players played in this year?
Zero.
Right, and you're telling me there's not players on that team from Texas or Florida and California because they put on a Bills uniform for two seasons suddenly makes them harden to the snow?
I like that
That's
argument.
Not how that works.
I like the argument for college football. I don't like it for the NFL because in college football, C.J. Stroud and Ohio State, they might play 3, 4, 5 games in a row in the snow because they might play Iowa, Northwestern, games home at Ohio State, Michigan, and, like, they're all in terrible weather. I think Buffalo is going to win this game, but I think Pittsburgh's going to cover, and I think it's probably less than a touchdown separation.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm not saying that Pittsburgh's a lock by any means, but I think you have to consider them at least a live dog because I think the weather favors their style of offensive play. The Bills, I mean, they obviously can run the ball. James Cook has been really good this year. And certainly second half of the year, especially in that Cowboys game, they started to lean on the run more than they had in previous years, especially after they fired their offensive coordinator. But I still think the identity of that team, if they had their first choice, would be to air it out with Josh Allen and Diggs. And I know Gabe Davis is out, but, you know, insert, you know, secondary receiver here. But Pittsburgh, I think, is the opposite of that. If they have their, you know, a game plan work out for them, that looks like them pounding the ball, giving, you know, 35 to 40 carries combined to Najee and Jaylen Warren and winning the game that way.
All right, let's kind of rapid fire through these because we went long on that last segment. So we have
frog debate.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Frogs are animals. breaking news to me and Joel, apparently. Kansas City Chiefs versus the Dolphins. I think Miami's going to win this game. I'm going to call the upset.
Okay, you got to explain to me why.
I think in the weather, I think
minus
they're going
to
go.
-4, -27 wind chill.
I think
they're from Miami.
I know. I think Mostert, Achane, Jeff Wilson, that trio of running back carries the Dolphins in a game without a lot of throwing, and it's really just Pacheco and maybe, like, Jared McKinnon, I think, stinks. I think it was a fun story last year. I don't think it's real. So I think Dolphins pull the upset. I'm
still going to go with the Chiefs here because from what I've seen, I know there is projected to be some snow, but it's not the blizzard.
Mostly wind and cold.
Yeah. So and I don't think it's the type of weather that necessarily destroys the passing game like what we're going to see in Buffalo. So I'm still going with the Chiefs.
All right, Dallas, Green Bay. Mike McCarthy gets fired, and Bill Belichick replaces him.
That's a sexy storyline, but I can't buy for 1,000 years that they're going to lose this game.
I've been anointed the Dallas Cowboys haters by our texters because I went off on Dak and his season last year, and I went to our quarterback playoff ranking or playoff rankings for quarterbacks. Just to piss them off, I'm just going to roll with it. And
out of 14, where'd you have them?
11th.
It wasn't that low.
I should have made it that low, but I'm just going to troll with it. In his last 8 games, Jordan Love has thrown 18 touchdowns and 1 interception. And I don't know if Joel's happy about this or unhappy about this because he wants Jordan Love to stink.
I think he likes Jordan Love. Yeah.
I think the Packers beat the Cowboys this weekend. Sorry, Dre. I'm just trolling you now, but I'm taking the Packers.
I'm taking the Cowboys.
And the Brendan Riley matchup, Jared Goff and the Lions versus Matt Stafford and the Rams. I'm taking the Rams.
I am torn on that. Like,
it's a good game.
Between now and when that game kicks off, I might have, you know, 50 different predictions on that game. Right now, if I had to, gun to my head, pick the game, I would definitely pick the Lions to win. What is the number on that game? Do you have it in front of you?
No, I don't have it in front of me anymore.
It's probably close. I would guess it's like 3. I could try to look it up here as I'm talking. But
3.
It is 3. Okay. Yeah, so I would, if I had to put a wager on it, I would say Lions win, Rams cover. I think that's literally coming down to like a 1-point game. Man, I don't have a good feeling about it, but I think I'm leaning Lions because they're home, but everything else tells me Rams.
Yeah, I'm going Rams.
Like, if this was a neutral site, I would pick Rams.
Fair. Dr. Dre says, trolling me, ? Nah, I know what Dak does in January. Good point, Dre. Thanks for backing me up.
Yeah, hopefully Dak doesn't run and slide down there with like 2 seconds
and
left.
And honestly, it's kind of trolling myself. Like, the idea that Jordan Love's going to win a playoff game, like, makes me miserable.
Are the Packers your biggest rival?
Yeah.
As a Bears fan?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Teams I hate the most in life are the Packers and the Cardinals. St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm with you on Cardinals.
And then the last game we have here, Eagles-Buccaneers. Monday Night Football in Tampa.
Seen the reports that Sirianni might be the mystery coach on the hot seat if he gets fired.
I love Bill Belichick just injecting chaos into the story.
Yeah, when Schefter came out with that story that there was some surprise team that if they had an early exit, their coach would get fired. I assumed that was either Mike McCarthy if the Cowboys lost or Sean McDermott if the Bills lost.
Man, Sirianni, it kind of feels like it's Sirianni now.
It feels like it's Sirianni, but you know, my initial thought was that's a massive overreaction. He got you the Super Bowl last year. But then when you stop and think about it, they finished the season 1-5. And then if you add to that in this scenario, losing a playoff game to a 9-8 team led by Baker Mayfield, I'm not saying they'd be right to fire him, but I would get why they'd be angry.
I get why Philly of all markets.
Yeah, I get why they'd be angry.
Let's just go with it. Buccaneers win.
Yeah, let's inject chaos. Let's go Bucks.
I Rashad White, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. The Eagles defense has been overrated and bad this year. Their offense isn't good,
especially against what's the Eagles defense been worse against? The pass. Exactly. What do the Buccaneers do best? The pass.
Mike Evans has one.
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rashad White's a good receiving back. So yep. Yeah.
Buccaneers win. And Nick Sirianni fired. And Mike McCarthy. Super chaos on Monday and Tuesday next week. I can't wait for it.
Some men just like to watch the world burn, Joe.
Yeah, well, hopefully we don't freeze this week again. All right. Coming up next, Jermaine Every from sportsmap.com. He will join us to preview the Texans game, one of our Texans writers for that website. That's next here on The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Everyone loves our chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.
Deep inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios, there is a bullpen. And in that bullpen is the brilliant mind of Joe George. Call him now and challenge him in a battle of wits.
The Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 here with you until 7 o'clock. We'll have Hall of Fame with Booker T and Brad Gilmore coming up at 8. And just a reminder, tomorrow, win or lose, at 6:30, Mike O'Connor and myself will have a Texans post-game show here on ESPN 97.5 and on twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, maybe on YouTube as well. We'll find out. Maybe. That might start tomorrow. I don't know, BMAC. Don't look at me like that. So we'll have that coming up tomorrow. A bunch of the personalities from the station will be making appearances. Paul and Josh will be at the game covering it for us, so they'll definitely be there. But right now we are joined by Jermaine Every, Texans writer for sportsmap.com. You can find him on Twitter at @_Jermaine. Jermaine, what's going on, man? Good to talk to you.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good. All right, so we were just talking about if frogs are animals. I saw your response to Josh's tweet. Do you have thoughts?
What the hell was that?
I don't know. I made a mistake.
I'm just like, a frog is an animal.
I know.
Like, I could see if we were talking about tomatoes, because tomatoes, people think it's a vegetable, but it's actually a fruit.
Fair.
But we're talking about an animal not being considered an animal.
I know, Jermaine. It's not my best moment. I'm not going to deny it. I don't run from it, but it wasn't my best. I can't deny it. So obviously, the big news in town this weekend, Texans, Browns, like the idea before the season that the Texans could host a playoff game. If someone had told me that, Jermaine, before the season, I would have said, stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Like, you're way too all in on this team. I thought they were like a 7-win team, but they have surpassed every expectation and more this weekend. Do you think that continues this weekend and the Texans get a victory over the Browns? How do you feel like the game plays out?
I definitely think the Texans are going to win this game simply because Jeremy Branham tweeted it out earlier. The starting lineups for both teams in that first matchup. And when you look at, let's just say the Texans offense, right? And you saw, all these guys here, there, blah, blah, blah. The main cog was missing. That was C.J. Stroud. You look at the Browns, and they're pretty much bringing everybody back. But when you don't have the trigger man, the gun just doesn't fire the way it used to. And you need the trigger man in order to make sure the gun fires the way it's supposed to. I mean, you could have the nicest car, but if you have a person that doesn't know how to drive it, is it really going to be the nicest car to drive? No, it won't. And that's exactly what this Texans offense looked like with Case Keenum under center instead of CJ Stroud.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think CJ is always like having a backup quarterback. What Case did against Tennessee was admirable, but like what happened against Cleveland was just a total disaster. On the flip side of it, though, like you did have relatively the same, you know, secondary for the most part in that game. You know, Steven Nelson missed like one series at most, but he was out there and Sting was out there on the other side, and you know, Amari Cooper avoided him most of the game. How do you think that matchup goes, Amari Cooper versus the Texans secondary this weekend?
One thing that I think will help is that Jimmy Ward should be healthy this game. I believe Ward ended up missing some time in that game. Mm-hmm. They had to play some other guys at safety. Another thing is Jalen Petrie got benched in that game for blowing an assignment. I want to say it was mainly after the Amari Cooper go route touchdown right up the sideline where he bit on Njoku's dig route. So when you see stuff like that happen, the secondary is going to mainly come back, but at the same time, they're going to make some adjustments. And they're going to also play, I think, a little bit more confident, knowing that, hey, if we do make a mistake and we're not as perfect and we bend but don't break on some of these drives, we do still have seven on the other side. When we need to give him a chance and give him back the ball. So I think not only will that defense correct some of the mistakes they made last game, I think they'll play a little bit more inspired, knowing that they have that other guy on the other side of the ball that's going to have their back.
Talking with Jermaine Avery from SportsMap.com here on the show. You can find him on Twitter at @_Jermaine. Better story overall this season. CJ Stroud, the rookie, you know, leads the Texans to the playoffs and a division win. Or is it Joe Flacco coming off of his couch and taking Cleveland to a place that they thought Deshaun Watson would take them?
I think, honestly, nationally and locally, it's CJ Stroud, simply because he's the rookie quarterback. We've only seen a handful of rookie quarterbacks throw for 4,000 yards. We've only seen we've never seen a rookie quarterback and a first-year head coach win a division and make the playoffs. Stroud is doing things that, you know, there's only been a handful of guys before him that have been able to do. And some things he's done that other guys have never done. I believe he set the rookie record for 300-yard passing games with seven. So he's the bigger story simply because he's in his first year of football and he's looking to move forward, whereas Joe Flacco is in the twilight of his career. He's having one last hurrah. And that's great and everything. He was sitting at home, you know, waiting for somebody to call him. That's a cool story, but it's just, to me, not the bigger story of the two, because if you look at the bigger story, both stories are pretty big. One has been going on all season. One has about a month. One has legs to move forward, and one is probably going to be over with after Saturday.
When you look at the game, you know, on Saturday, outside the quarterbacks, is it more important that the Texans got just Jonathan Greenard back, or that they're probably going to get Robert Woods and Noah Brown back?
I'm going to say Greenard. Greenard definitely is the bigger guy to get back for this game, because if you look at, like you mentioned, pretty much the same secondary is coming back. What if they don't make those adjustments, and what if they're starting to get picked apart again? One thing that will help them is having that other guy on the other side of Will Anderson Jr. that can apply some pressure. Now, they did pick up Derek Barnett. However, with Anderson, you know, still fighting off that ankle injury, and Greenard, you know, coming back from his injury, you're going to need guys in that rotation. So getting another guy in that rotation who can rush the passer and press the pocket, you know, off the edge is going to be critical to help that secondary in case they don't make the adjustments that they needed to make from last game to this game.
Jermaine, and you can find Jermaine on Twitter at @_Jermaine, one of our writers for SportsMap.com, covering the Houston Texans. You put out an article today deciphering what the latest buzz reveals about the Houston Texans' future. A lot of it's, you know, it's mostly focused on Bobby Slowick. We know he's been requested by four teams. Do you think that Bobby Slowick remains with the Houston Texans next year, or do you think he's going to get that opportunity right now to be a head coach?
You know, with the way this league is going, you wouldn't think a first-year play caller would get that quick of an opportunity to be a head coach. And I think back to LSU's 2019 team when Joe Brady was the co-offensive coordinator and assistant play caller, what have you, and he immediately got bumped up to be the OC of the Carolina Panthers the following year. You look at guys like other coaches around the league who have who are getting these opportunities with very little to no experience as a play caller, as an offensive coordinator, or anything like that. Mike McDaniel in Miami is another perfect example. Teams nowadays are looking for the next hot young head coach who can, you know, bring them something more, something innovative, something new and fresh that can help them, you know, progress forward in the way that this league is being called and the way plays are being called and designed. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Bobby Slowick is not here. Honestly, I really hope he does stay and kind of marinate because he does still have a few kinks to work out before he's actually out on his own. But I would not be surprised at all if he's gone after this year.
Yeah, that's kind of where I lean too. You know, I think just like looking at what's happening, obviously Gerard Mayo, you know, the first coach hired this offseason, was in his contract apparently that he would be Bill Belichick's replacement no matter what. They didn't have to go through any interviewing process. But you got Belichick and Harbaugh and Pete Carroll and Ben Johnson. You got some big names out there, but I think it's hard to ignore the fact that you have two general managers now in Washington officially with Adam Peters, Ron Carthon in Tennessee, that have major San Francisco ties to Bobby Slowick. And like, it honestly feels like if Washington misses on Ben Johnson, that he's going to end up there. For me, if you were Bobby Slowick, is there a job you want even though? Because like, I don't think a lot of these jobs are any good besides Washington and the Chargers are the two jobs I like the most.
Yeah, and the Commanders were one of the teams that actually requested to talk to Bobby this offseason. It was the Panthers, the Commanders, Falcons, and Titans. Now, the Titans is interesting because of the division rivalry and whatnot, the Adams family and all of that mess. But do you really want to go to a team that has Will Levis as its, you know, quarterback going into next year? They have no Derrick Henry, and it's kind of a mess. You look at the Panthers, and they, while they did get Bryce Young, they didn't have very much draft capital or anything else to surround him with any kind of talent. So you're devoid there, and the owner is crazy. You look at the Falcons, and they're in a position where they need to find their next franchise quarterback because Desmond Ridder isn't it. And then you look at the Commanders, and it's like, okay, this team, they have a high draft pick. They can potentially get a quarterback in the draft. But they also have this other guy that was there that, you know, maybe he can, you know, Sam Howell, maybe I can work with him. Maybe be a backup even. But I see the Commanders as the likely landing spot for him. Because also that Eagles team, like you guys were talking about in the previous segment, went 1-5 down the stretch, and Sirianni may be on the hot seat, maybe not. You look at the Cowboys are always susceptible to being beat. The Giants are down, and so that Commander's job is a job where you can walk in, you have a guy who knows you, who knows your philosophy, and you both kind of come from the same tree. You got some draft capital, you got some, you know, some decent pieces on that team and a little bit of money to spend in free agency. You can easily go in there, turn around, and challenge for that division next year if you walk into that head coaching role.
All right, he is Jermaine Every. You can find him on Twitter at @_Jermaine. Find his work on sportsmap.com. Most recent story about the future of the Houston Texans, deciphering what latest buzz reveals about Houston Texans' future. Jermaine, thank you for joining me. Appreciate it, man, and we'll see what happens tomorrow.
I got a bone to pick with D-Mac. D-Mac is a wrestling fan, and there was a meme going around that says, what wrestling opinion would have you like this? And he thinks that R-Truth can dethrone Roman Reigns. And D-Mac, I just got to tell you, you're crazy as hell. Opinion would definitely have you chained up like Patrick Starr.
First off, please address R-Truth as the leader of Judgment Day, and then we can have the conversation about him.
Look, number one selling T-shirt over the last 24 hours on WWE.
Exactly. So, thank you for making my point, Jermaine. R-Truth equals box office.
Okay, but that was this week. That's not long term. You're one of those wrestling fans that feels the moment and things. Put the title on this guy. I love R-Truth. I've been loving R-Truth since he was K-Quick with Road Dogg.
I mean,
but
apparently
he's not world title material. I'm sorry. He's just not.
He is Jermaine Every. You can find him on Twitter at @_Jermaine. Jermaine, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right. Later, fellas.
All right, it's the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Apparently today, ESPN 97.5's own Josh Beard made the decision to dive back into the parody song world. We listen to that next. We grade it. And go with some prop bets as well. It's the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dog Show.
God loves a terrier.
The Veradex Community Bank Studios is currently broadcasting The Bullpen. There are no real bulls inside the pen up there, but that would be awesome, wouldn't it? But the only occupant of the bullpen is this guy, Joe George.
The Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George here with you for about another 8 minutes. We'll do some Texans prop bets. I have one prop that I hit on right away as soon as I saw it. We'll do that after we play some more music. Josh Beard is a creative mind that I was very excited to get here at ESPN 97.5. But I knew there was going to be some times where he did things that I was unsure about.
Do you think he's been more or less creative since the concussion? Do you think you think the concussion opened up more creativity in his brain?
I'll tell you this.
Or just different creativity?
Knowing Josh, I expected parody songs every week when we hired him. And we only
are you calling him out?
And we only got like two so far. I thought it was going to be...
Hey, Josh, if you're listening, I think Joe's calling you out.
I thought this was going to be a Josh Beard Texans special. Like every week we were going to get one.
Breaking news, Joe calling Josh lazy.
I just... Maybe expectations. Like, when we all worked at 610, he did them all the time.
We certainly did them on our Fantasy Four show. Exactly. They made the damn King Beard videos for me.
All right. So he did this song called the CJ Squabble. He also sent it to me today, and I was told him I listened to it. I didn't, because I knew I wanted to save it for this moment. So I lied to Josh today over text message. If he's listening, he's finding out right now I lied to him. So we're going to listen to it right now for the first time. Hit it, B-Mac.
Squabble. Big as the what? Big as the what? Big as the what? Big as the Super Bowl in the eighth Saturday slate. CJ State's tossing these bombs to Big Nico. Hit the squabble with Bob and F. Flacco's run. Send that old man back to the home. Oh, lookie, a rookie who's stunting on bitches and making them all look pitiful. I'm like, go ahead, say it then. Who to go? Who to go? Who to go? Who to go? You oughta know who we rooting for. We ain't fans that don't know. They head from they ass. We reppin' both CJ and Dummy Go. Big as the what? Big as the what? Big as the what? Big as the Super Bowl. D'Amico ready. Willie gonna murder Flacco just to show who's really elite. Drop that old man. Lay him to rest like Lily Vanilli. Nice and easy. While Sting gonna hunt, pick him off and show Namari the taste of his cleats. Rep the H with the goat in his voice. Show Alpha CJ, get your ass in these seats. Big as the what? Big as the what? Big as the what? Big as the Super Bowl in the eighth Saturday slate. CJ State's tossing these bombs to Big Nico. Hit the squabble with Bob and F. Flacco's run. Send that old man back to the home. Oh, lookie, a rookie who's stunting on bitches and making them all look pitiful. I'm like, go ahead, say it then. Who to go? Who to go? Who to go? Who to go? We all know who to go is. It's CJ Stroud.
He had me till the end there.
You know what? I'll say this. Josh, your brother-in-law would have done better. Two, that was an inside joke for about five people. But besides your brother-in-law doing better, I will say that was better than I expected.
It was better than I expected.
He stayed on beat and on rhythm much better than I was expecting, especially that song. That was a little bit of a tricky song. It wasn't like a nice steady beat all the way through. It kind of changed rhythm.
He stayed
with it for the most part.
How long does that take, Beard?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like 2 hours?
See, I don't. Josh doesn't strike me as someone who would do edits over and over again to make it perfect.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like writing to finish, though.
I think writing probably took longer than the actual rap. The rap, I'm guessing he did it one or two takes because that's the type of effort he would put into it. He put the effort into the writing part to make sure it would fit.
I'll give you a B+.
Because I love you more, Josh, I'll say A minus.
He said he had to re-record the ending because he's in our Twitch chat right now. It's up to his feet. Because he kept laughing.
Oh, so he heard my comment about his brother-in-law.
He said 25 minutes.
Okay, so I think I was about right. 25 minutes.
All right.
Chase would have done better.
Woohoo! Josh, Josh, if you missed it, to recap the start of this segment, I thought you were going to do this every week, and I'm disappointed you've only done two since you got hired.
These are the opinions of Joe George and Joe George alone. Josh, I do not think you're lazy.
Assistant Program Director Joe George.
Oh, wow, look at this power trip.
Big time. I've been told I've been power hungry before, okay?
Power trip, right? Joe George over here.
Oh, he said he heard. Good, Toof. I'm glad you heard it. All right, some prop bets this week, our final couple minutes here in the show. First one I saw this weekend, +500 odds. Derek Stingley Jr. has an interception this game.
Yeah, I like that.
I was like, those are good. That's a good number.
Yeah, especially considering Flacco. Yeah. I would take that bet.
I was like, low wager, you know, not going to lose a lot of money on this one. But
and it pays big if you hit. I like that. That's a good one.
All right, CJ Stroud, over-under 244.5 passing yards.
That's a pretty good number considering the defense, but because of the moment and because I think they may have to come back a little bit, I'm going to say over on that. Not a massive over. I think he gets to like 260, maybe 270. So I will take over on 240, whatever it was.
Yeah, 244.5. I would take the over. I think he clears that pretty easily, to be honest. Nico Collins, over 72.5 receiving yards. Well, if we're taking the over on the passing yards, I think you have to take the over on Nico.
If you think the Texans are going to win, and you and I both do, then they're not going to win if Nico doesn't go over. So I'll go over on that.
CJ Stroud, +125 to throw over 1.5 touchdowns. It's minus like 120, minus 115.
Only 120
on the under.
+125. I would not take that bet.
Yeah,
I would just not bet that one at all.
That's because that's the perfect
because they can
line.
Score touchdowns in different ways. There might be a defensive score with Flacco. You could have a rushing touchdown. I would probably pass on that bet.
Give me your. I'll find out who it is. Give me your first Texans player to score a touchdown.
Any player. Oh, any player?
Yeah.
Let's go with David Njoku.
David Njoku.
Gut reaction, I would say David Njoku.
+1,000 odds.
I would definitely put some money down on that.
The top two, +650, Jerome Ford, +700, Devin Singletary.
Is it just default to running backs? Is that what it is?
No, not usually.
Okay.
It is my favorite bet to make.
I don't think that's really a good bet for the matchups of these running backs against these running defenses.
My favorite bets are anytime touchdowns and first touchdown of the game. I think they're the most fun. Honestly, I think they're the easiest to hit. Like, if you just bet Tank Dell every week next season, you're going to hit on like 8 of your 16, and you always get good plus money on them. I'm just going to go Nico +900.
That's not a bad bet.
I like Dalton Schultz +1,300 as well, but
the value is there. But I don't like him to score.
Yeah, I don't like him to score first. Maybe in the game, but not first. All right, that does it for us. Just a reminder, again, we will do a post-game show. Michael Connor, myself, a bunch of everyone else from 97.5 will be on. We'll start at 6:30 tomorrow. No matter what, no matter how much time is left in the game, our Texans post-game show tomorrow. I will talk to you then, and then we'll all be back on Monday, hopefully after a Texans victory. See ya.
ESPN. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.